Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Let me read verses 42 through 47 for starters. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Are you happy where you find yourself in life, the right here and the right now? Perhaps you haven't even really given it much thought about how you are, where you are. Why are you here this morning? Maybe you're just shocked where you find yourself in this chapter of life. How did you get here and where are you going? I think those are fair questions to ask ourselves from time to time. I still consider myself young. You probably heard me say that before, but obviously I keep getting older. Some things really start changing as you get older. Before you know it, you are in your 30s, pushing 40. You start to understand in a very real way that some of the choices we make that seemed so insignificant, say 10 years ago, or when we were a teenager, they have a huge impact on where I am today. The thoughts of others following in my footsteps and how my choices have so much to do with how my family will prosper, or on a collective level, how our brotherhood will prosper. The word we use sometimes is vision. So it's a vision of where we want to be that starts with us personally and with our families. But we also need to be doing this together, collectively, with the help of God and a brotherhood in order for it to prosper. So what is your vision for the church? Have you thought about it from the point of view that this, in quotes, is what we need to do in order to reach this, in quotes? Perhaps we think we have some pretty good alternatives. Many times our vision could simply be to just replace the undesirable with something else, just as long as we are doing what didn't work before or what we didn't like and hope for better results. Setting ourselves up for failure again. Or perhaps we are satisfied where we are at and we don't put any effort or very little thought at all of what previous visions were that got us to this point. Good visions do get lost quite easily. But we also need to remember that good visions need picked up and renewed. So what is vision for the church? The dictionary describes vision as the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. So this definition would indicate that we need to have the right kind of vision. Imagination definitely isn't going to get us to where we need to be. We can put together all kinds of ideas and dreams, no problem. And I ask the question, what is your vision for the church? And that could almost be the title for the sermon this morning, but I think we are missing something very vital with that thought or that title. When it's just our vision for the church, I think that that could be classified as imagination, you could say, and not much more than that. What we need to be asking for and finding out is, what is God's vision for the church? So that's where the wisdom is. We already have a manual to follow, God's word. And God knows the future, and his vision, when we seek it out and build, will cause the church to prosper. So that is the title this morning of the sermon, God's vision for the church. I want to do my best to inspire all of us to search the scriptures and dig down deep to discover God's vision for the church. It really is a big subject. I don't think I'm nearly going to say everything that could be said. And there's more than one sermon probably that could be preached. And as God directs, maybe that'll happen some more. I don't want to leave the impression this morning either that I feel like our church is dead and that we have no hope. Actually, I don't feel that way at all. And God cares about the church, and he really does care about us too. Vision is something that keeps getting built upon and, God willing, passed on through the generations. It must not lie dormant or unnoticed. We have picked up helpful visions of others before us, hopefully, but we need to catch the vision as the familiar term is coined, God's vision. Vision does not disregard. It builds upon, and as we look to the manual God's word, it will continually direct us into the future. We can have hope for the future. God's vision brings unity. A few verses. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. 1 Samuel 3:1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Lamentations 2:9. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Those scripture verses there tell us of the dangers and the sad places of no vision. So ask the question again, are you satisfied with where you find yourself in your direction of travel? Do you have a vision at all? Is your vision clearly a godly vision, or is it twisted, confusing, and failing you? Hopelessness, that's what those scriptures painted, the picture of when there is no vision. Now I want to read a few more verses, Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now that is inspiring and rejuvenating. But there's more to it than just getting excited about it. It's got to be more than just inspiration. For myself, I think that too often I get inspired by the supposed end result, but don't do what's required to get there. Reading good books, and of course reading God's word, are very good things to do and very important. But with vision, we must take it a step further and put it into action. Vision does something about it. True godly vision. That is where success and fulfillment come from. But we could get inspired all day about vision for the church and really have the right motives, but not be any further than we were when we started thinking about it or talking about it. We have to get serious about vision. Write the vision. Make it plain. Persevere. The amazing thing about vision is that it lights a fire, not only in us, but also in others. That he may run that readeth it. Am I alone in the vision? Are you alone in your vision for the church? Godly vision won't be separate. It will unify and create a powerful force that inspires grandparents, middle-aged people, and the young people, the future of the church. It's not exclusive in no way at all. It's about the cause of Christ and the blessings of the church for the glory of God. Well, what do you suppose the most important thing is in order to catch God's vision for the church? It's repentance, isn't it? We must come to the end of ourselves and cast it all out at the foot of the cross. It's not just one choice and we are good to go, although that initial commitment to Christ is essential, but it's a continual repentance, dying to self and open to God. Matthew 3, verse 8, bring forth, therefore, fruits, meet for repentance. Luke 13, verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It sounds familiar to where there is no vision, the people perish. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I have five more points that I believe are part of God's vision for the church. Worship, ministry, evangelism, fellowship, discipleship. Now, I did not really take the time to put them in particular order. We already talked about repentance, and I do believe that is the first thing that must happen in our life. Without repentance, we ourselves will not prosper. We will not catch the vision, and without vision, the people perish. However, all these other points are vital as well. Do we really get to pick and choose or put into a specific order? I suppose when we repent and say yes to God, we really are saying yes to all the others. We're saying yes to whatever God is asking of us, and some of those things will be more direct and pronounced in different roles in the church, but they all apply to us. We must all have the same vision of repentance, worship, ministry, evangelism, fellowship, and discipleship. So following repentance, we look at worship. Worship must be part of our life. It's not just about coming to church on Sunday or taking in an occasional prayer meeting. It's personal. Personal worship dedicated solely for connection with God. Seeing God in our work and in our surroundings. Speaking to Him throughout the day. It's not just an act. It's from the heart and what moves us. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. John 4, 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your heart to the Lord. How do you feel about worship? We're going to talk about a similar thought when we get to the fellowship point as well, but what really is worship? Is it what God does for us? Is it the warm, good feeling of spending time with him? Why do we worship him? We must worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship him because we love him, and that is the least we can do. If we approach God with the mentality of what we deserve or what we are going to get out of it, it hardly can be called worship anymore. God does reward worship and relationship with him, but let's not forget where the glory belongs. All the glory belongs to God. Ministry. In some ways, we could say ministry is very similar to evangelism, our next point. But I think there is a difference here, although they do go hand in hand many times as we reach out to others. Ministry could have more of an inward focus, you could say, in meeting the needs of the brotherhood. Do we know when our brother or sister is struggling? Are we hurting with them? Are we rejoicing with them? We know there's scripture verses, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. What about severe temptations and struggles? It's not just fellowship. It's a deep care for the well-being of others. It's a reaching out to the needs beyond salvation, inwardly within the brotherhood and also outwardly to the world around us. It's a chance to show the world God's love and compassion through us. Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Evangelism. We talk about all these points as being part of our life. Here again, how is evangelism doing in your life, in my life? Do we see the individuals we rub shoulders with in business life and community as never dying souls? Or have we become calloused and indifferent to the reality of judgment and eternity? I appreciate the street meetings work in Vancouver. I appreciate that we have an outreach committee dedicated to reaching out for other opportunities. But what about all that time in between? Evangelism must be a way of life. Opportunities to witness and spread the gospel are right here in our community and in our daily life. And I must say for myself and confess that I miss them far too often. Make evangelism a way of life. God's vision for the church is that it would not grow, not only grow inwardly, but also that it would grow outwardly. Church growth will not happen without evangelism. Without evangelism, all the good things of brotherhood and church life will begin to fall apart. Evangelism also cannot be neglected, just like all the rest. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The next one is fellowship. When we desire a good church life, what is the first thing we desire? Often I think that what we long for is this very thing, fellowship, community, whatever you want to call it. And that isn't wrong, because it is also part of God's vision for the church. However, I'm afraid that it becomes our most important focus often. Why am I part of a church? Is it for what I can get out of it? Or is it for an opportunity to glorify God and fulfill the purposes of his vision for the church? What happens is that when our focus is solely on fellowship, we begin to have a selfish view of church life. There will be no prosperity and church growth when we have self in the picture. Energy that gets put towards worship, ministry, evangelism, and discipleship creates a fellowship in itself. Working together creates community. However, Scripture does tell us to give attention to fellowship. Here's some of those verses, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. 1 John 1, 7. But if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. 1 John 1, 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. Acts 2, 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Did you notice some of the common threads in these verses? Fellowship with God means fellowship with believers. All the fellowship we do, whether it's fellowship meals, church campouts, house-to-house visiting, and so on, must have a common goal, and that is to build the church of Christ, to have a godly vision for the church of Christ. Fellowship is very likely one of the first things we miss in our church life when a church begins to lose its vision, simply because we are sociable, connected human beings. That is how God created us. He wants us to share that connection with him primarily, and then also as a body of believers. Let's give attention to fellowship and encouragement and build each other up. But let's not forget that fellowship, if fellowship is lacking, that perhaps we need to take a good look at the rest of things that are very likely lacking in our lives. Discipleship. Mark 8, verse 34, whosoever will come after me Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Disciples follow Jesus. That means we identify with Jesus. When we go about our normal day-to-day life, people are going to say, they follow Jesus. They will begin to get a bigger picture as they begin to know more followers of Jesus. They will see a church with God's vision, a church that thrives because they are following God. Disciples of Jesus sacrifice. We really do not know what all it will cost us, but essentially it costs us everything. We need to be willing to give anything up. We lay down our lives, our self-will, our things, everything at the foot of the cross. Lose everything to gain incomparable eternal value. Disciples imitate Jesus. They imitate Jesus' love. John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Disciples imitate his mission. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Disciples imitate his humility, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Disciples imitate his service. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Disciples imitate his suffering. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. Disciples imitate his obedience to the Father. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You could say that discipleship really encompasses God's vision for the church. If we could truly follow in his footsteps, love as Christ loves, and so on, imitate him, we will catch the vision. Learn the vision that God has for the church. There's also another important thing about discipleship. What are we doing to teach discipleship in our church? The outworking of God's vision for the church is so much more than just a head knowledge and theorizing of how things should work. We must teach the younger, the new believers, and so on, as the scriptures command, but we need to put it into action ourselves by example. Show what true discipleship really means. If others aren't catching the vision, perhaps we aren't teaching them. Or perhaps we have a dead vision ourselves. Perhaps we are hindering vision because we simply don't trust the Spirit of God to work powerfully in their lives too. Perhaps we read God's word with tinted glasses. We have a vision, and we go to the scriptures to prove our vision. How about we go to the scriptures with an open heart and untainted glasses? It will change us. That's what God's word does. Are we catching God's vision for the church? Our vision is Jesus, present and near, dwelling within, sweet and wondrous, intimate and kind. Our vision is Jesus. We want to be a movement of disciples that know him, see him, love him, and listen to him. We want to live with him, abide in him, rest in him. We want to be his resting place, a people that God calls home. We want him, just him, so desperate for him. Our vision is Jesus, living among, showing the way, humble and good, generous and faithful. Our vision is Jesus. We want to be a movement of friends that live as he lives, acts as he acts, and give as he gives. We want to be different, spend different, live different. We want to be righteous and pure, holy and good. We want to be free and alive, brimming with passion. We want joy to be our experience, life to be our cry, and unity to be our hallmark. We want to be the kingdom here and now. We want to be like him. Just like him, so much like him, out ahead, blazing the trail, healing and tender, mighty and just. Our vision is Jesus. We want to be a movement of radicals that see who he sees, go where he goes, and love who he loves. We want to touch who he touches and heal who he heals. We want to love our neighbors and bless our world. We want to join him in turning a generation of people back to the heart of the Father. We want to go where he goes, just where he goes. Must go where he goes. Our vision is Jesus. This is what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to be on a mission. This is our life. A movement of people moving toward our vision. Our vision is Jesus. Andy Lampkin. Compare yourself with the lives of Abraham and Lot. Abraham had God's vision. He sought a country he could not see. But God had the vision. Lot, when he looked at the well-watered plains, had many dreams and ideas of how he could prosper and grow his herds and flocks. Little or no thought about his family or even Abraham. He lost the vision and gravitated toward Sodom. We know the rest of the story. Do you have a vision? God's vision. A vision doesn't take place in a day, and it is a lifetime of continually refining it as God directs. But my desire is to personally take it to heart. Write the vision according to the scriptures and according to God's will. Then run with it. Be inspired by God's grace and his vision. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless each of us. We thank you for the worship this morning. Help us to go with a spring in our step, willing to serve you, willing to go with the vision that you give us. Help us to search the scriptures with open hearts. Pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are hurting, those who are struggling. Help us to rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. Help us to be a community, a fellowship of believers with your vision. Pray, Lord, that you would bless us this week and be with those who are busily planning the CAM meetings. Pray that all that would go smoothly and according to your will. We pray that you would bless the travels and keep everybody in thy care. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.